Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yank. Let's get started.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of In the Chains. And on the tee box tonight with me, as always, we have Joshua Birmingham.
Sir.
And Thomas Bowen.
By order of the Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders. but not as normal, we also have on the tee box with us, quite a crowded tee box tonight, we have Dale from the Amside podcast. And the other one from the podcast is Rob, isn't it? Yeah.
Schmarb Schmickel.
Schmarb Schmickel.
Keep my damn name out of you. it feels good to be back from my perspective. But yeah, welcome to the show, Rob. Welcome to the show, Dale. Nice to have you on. Just a quick, we recorded the front nine. So this is the back, what we're calling the back nine, so the second part of a joint show.
The better nine.
The better nine. Yeah, this is the money nine where you make the money. But the front nine, which includes Bowen's fake news, is going to be on the Amside podcast, and it's going to be released on the same day. So we suggest that stop the recording now, go listen to that, then come back to this after, and it'll all make sense.
You can always just skip the back, that's fine.
Yeah.
I was about to say, listen to the back nine first, because if you listen to the front nine, you're probably not going to want to listen to the back nine.
So, what have we got coming? We've got, we've got Bowen's fake news, because that was covered on the front nine, so I've devised a little quiz. We're going to pit the Amside versus the two remaining In the Chains. So obviously I've done the quiz question, so it's going to be Josh and Bowen.
I think we should be called the Amsidians. I like that.
Amsidians or the Shamside?
Yes.
The Shamside. Well decided there, Rob. The Shamside.
So we're going to have a little quiz to see who has the greater disc golf knowledge between those two and Josh, effectively. And then we are going to have a little chat about an upcoming tournament hosted by the Amside at Essex. So, shall we start with the quiz, guys?
Let's crack on.
Let's
go for it.
Excellent. Okie doke. So,
what are the rules first up?
I'm going to take it in turns to ask the questions. Okay. Now, there's two sets of questions. Now, I'm going to offer the Amside guys, do you want set one, or do you want set two?
It's not going to matter, I can tell you that.
No, it does.
It's not going to matter.
I have got set one and set two written out.
Should I flip a disc, Dale? I'm going to flip a disc. Heads is set one, tails is set two. Heads, set one.
Set one. Okie doke.
Let's do it.
So go first.
That means you're going to be up first. So the first question is, what disc manufacturer makes the disc called Yeet? So you can you can talk amongst yourselves, because it makes no difference.
Can it be passed
the other guys
over
don't
if
have
I get it
no,
wrong?
No, can't be passed over. So you can actually talk about it.
This is annoying. I'm pretty sure this is a question in Trevor's Trivia on the Grip Locked a few weeks ago.
Ooh. It was.
It's going to be like Gateway or Legacy.
No, it's not.
I think I might.
It's not your normal brand.
I'm going to have to move you along.
No, I don't know.
I'm going to say Gateway, just because it's sort of tier two, I'd say.
Okay.
Is it mint?
We're going to go over to the In the Chains team. I'll go back to it at the end. We'll do the answers. So we're going to go over to the In the Chains team. So question one for you guys. Who makes the Jack Rabbit putter?
And
Jack Rabbit putter.
What
Jack Rabbit putter. What do you got, Bowen? What are you thinking?
Not a clue. The Jack Rabbit. Think of the ones that I think Infinite, because they have other animals, don't they? Is that true?
I'm going with you on this one. I feel like I just saw this somewhere as well. Like, this must be. Oh God. Yeah, sure. We'll go with Infinite.
Infinite.
Okie doke. So, question two. This is the AmSci guys. Who has won the MPO World Championship the most times throughout history?
I know Duffy, and he's going to be saying there's going to be some guy that's won the Masters like 20 times.
No,
is
MPO.
It just MPO?
MPO.
Ken Clymer.
It's got to be Clymer, right?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's
been. Clymer.
He's fallen right into his trap.
Yeah.
I know, but it's going to be like Schultz or something like that that's won it, like, in the. Yeah, Clymer. Go on then.
Okay, so this is where the benefit of choosing the right question set comes in. Because there's actually three answers now for the Interchange team.
Do we have to get all of them?
But you have to get all of them for 1 point.
Okay. That's not fair.
So, hopefully it's easy. So on the flip side, who has won the most world championships in the FPO field?
So you've got Paige Pierce.
Yep.
You can discuss it before you lock the answers in.
Okay. So Paige, Des Redding, maybe?
How is Julia Korver won?
All right, that's my three right there. We're done.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
But then, no, but what about Kat? How many times she won it? Twice.
Oh, God.
Julia Korver's good. She's not as good as her sister Juliana, but...
That's the one that I meant. You knew I meant.
All right, so I'm happy with Paige, obviously. Yeah. I'm going to say Des, because I think she was like wiping the floor for a few years there.
Yeah.
So it's either Juliana or Katrina. Shit.
Choose one, Josh.
I'm going to have to press you.
All right.
You're the captain. You choose one.
Oh, God. Juliana.
He's smiling. Tell me who you've got quickly. So who have you got?
We just said it three times. Paige, Des, and Juliana.
Okay. So, question three for the AmSci guys.
Elaine King.
Which state is the preserve held in?
Objection. That's a geography question. It's not really a disc golf question.
It's part of the Portland swing. Like, there's the Portland Open...
No, it's not. Oh.
It's a visual Portland's not a state either.
What state's Portland in?
There's two, isn't there? There's a Portland, Maine, and a Portland in Washington.
Oh, I know the name.
It's Oregon. Not Washington.
It's in Clearwater. No. It's in Clearwater. And then the next bit starts with MROB.
Oh, Montana?
Minnesota? Minnesota?
No, Minnesota's over on the east. Maine? Is it Maine?
Nah, I think it's Clearwater, Minnesota. Well,
Minnesota's on the east, and I'm
going to have to draw you on the
Missouri,
tie.
Is it? No.
No, it's not Missouri.
Minneapolis? I don't know.
That's part of Minnesota, your Wally.
What's the answer you're locking in?
Clearwater, Minnesota. I'm
oh, he's overruling him.
Do it.
I know who wears the trousers there.
So we're going for Minnesota. So question three for
Monica.
Question three for In the Chain. What state is Ledgestone held in?
Ooh.
Where is Ledgestone?
Jesus. Why do I not know this?
Come on, guys. You let me down here.
Is it from down by you? Is it Kentucky?
Don't think so.
We were talking about it the other week, surely. This is, I'll tell you what, this is enthralling listening for everyone, just everyone's silent.
everyone's just, we're listening to the show, screaming somewhere. The answer, and we're just like, duh.
Pick somewhere.
you said state, just the state.
State. I only need state. State.
Virginia.
No, would you say, what about Indiana?
I don't know. We'll go for
take
it.
A shot in the dark.
What are you going to go with?
Hawaii.
Okay.
No, I'm joking.
All right. We'll just for the sake of brevity, we'll just go Indiana. Who cares?
Okay. So question four, fam side. True or false? Kyle Klein is in the top 10 players in the world based on ratings as we speak.
Oh, based on ratings, I know he's in UDisc top 10. But surely that's rated. Mm. Is that ratings? I'd say true. I'd say his performance this year hasn't been spectacular, but I reckon it'd be up there.
Can we hurry up, please? A 5-minute segment's taking 3 hours.
I don't think he is. Think about who the top 10.
That's the caption for the chains. Won't be in the chains, a 5-minute section that takes 3 hours.
Might as well be.
Macbeth, Wysocki, Eagle, Lazar. I don't think he's up there with them. I don't think he's up there yet.
I can be the bigger man. You can say no, and then I can just resent you if he's in there.
That's fine.
What are you going with? True or false? Dale's eyes seem to be off the screen rather a lot.
Yeah, I know. And I saw your hands fidgeting as well, Rob.
Does anybody notice that?
No, I'm just playing with my privates. I think he is. I think he's in the top 10.
I'll take the last question. You take this one.
Yeah,
you're
top 10.
I think you're correct, Rob, to be honest. Personally, I think you're correct.
Okay. So, true or false, Sarah Hokum is inside the top 10 in FPO.
She's always up there and about. So, I'm going to say, bearing on that, thinking about that, I'm going to say false. What do you think,
sure.
Josh?
Yeah, let's go with false.
Let's go with false.
Okay, that was a quick one.
He looks disappointed in our answer, like we're like really fucking this up.
Question five, and the last one for the AmSide guys. Where is the European Open being held this year? I need the town name.
Nokia, Finland.
The country.
Nokia, Finland.
Okay. The last question for the inner chains, guys. Which country, and we spoke about this person on the front nine, which country is Evelina Sullivan from?
She is Finnish.
Ooh.
See, and that confirms my answer, Bowen. She's definitely Finnish.
Ooh,
okay. That's the worst really? Poker
because
face
Paige Pierce called her out. She's like, she's a shy Finnish person. I was like, that was rude, but she was right, and she's Finnish.
I am
finished.
Didn't you have a bonus question, Duffy?
you are Finnish. That's right.
Yeah, he's not. He's not Finnish. He's only 27. If anyone knows that reference,
if it's locked in, I thought she was Estonian. Same with Kristen Tatar.
I was thinking Estonian, but there we go.
Because I thought they were talking Estonian together on the card.
That's it. All the
Duffy, didn't you have a sixth question? Which shop?
Oh, this I see.
Yeah.
Oh. I was joking around. I was going to ask a question. Which shop does the cheapest discs in the UK?
That was going to be one of your
So we're going to question one. Which disc manufacturer makes the Yeet? And you said,
I think we said Gateway.
That's a Gateway, I think.
And what do you two know?
I was gonna guess Finish Lines because it sounds like something Drew Gibson would do.
No.
Hooligan.
What the hell is that?
Nico's been throwing it quite a lot.
Cool.
And then so You got that wrong. Next question for the interchange was, who makes a Jackrabbit putter? And the answer is Lone Star. Lone Star Discs.
Okay, so that bringing up all the shit brands.
So, well, if I said who makes a Sidewinder, I reckon you'd have a good chance of getting it.
Discraft.
So, who has won the MPO World Championships the most times throughout history?
Ken Climo.
You said Ken Climo. And it is
Barry Schultz.
No, it's not. It's Ken Climo. that's 1 point.
I just shit myself.
it's like the chaser, isn't it? I could do this for a living, you know.
Chase anything.
If it was food. Who has won the most world championships in the FPO field?
This was unfair.
Three answers. It was unfair, but that was the look of the draw.
Why did you let him choose? Who would you have said?
Who would you have said? Amside.
Elaine King. Pierce, and Juliana Korva.
Yeah.
You'd have been right.
And as soon as you said Elaine King, I was thinking, I think that's who I meant with Des Redding, but it doesn't matter because I didn't say it.
So the two ones I said we got right.
They wouldn't have got a point because they didn't say Elaine King.
Elaine King
the grass.
The narc.
So, two answers were correct, and Josh's was wrong.
Yes, correct. That is right, Bone.
Okay, just wanted to clarify.
So, next question. Which state is the preserve held in? You're right, Minnesota.
No, there's a controversy here because Rob doesn't believe me.
What state is legislated? It is Illinois.
I knew it was an eye. Who knows? I mean,
point.
I feel like a lot of people don't know where that is. Everybody knows where the preserve is.
Sheer shit.
So quickly, did they jump from the west all the way to the? Because Minnesota's in the east. I'm not wrong there, right?
It's to the left of Wisconsin at the top.
It's like in the middle.
Yeah,
middle top. Okay. It's about three or four states along across the Canadian.
Massive area. States, though. Like,
I mean, we all agree that selection of states in America where the best NFL teams in the country.
Well, you've got Ohio not far away, haven't you?
The NFC North.
No. It's all about the AFC North.
Okay, so question four: true or false? Carl Kline is in the top 10 players in the world.
I'd say true.
That's
it,
true, is he?
False.
Oh!
But you said true.
False.
He's 1,000 and something rated. What's
he's
he rated?
Just outside. He's just outside.
I was going to say, if he was 10.
Well, yeah. I tried to get people who were there or thereabouts to tempt spots.
Sarah Hocum will be.
She inside the top 10 or not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what the...
Yeah.
What did you actually say?
I used reverse logic. I thought, we see her name a lot, so that means she's not in the top 10. I used reverse logic.
She is in the top 10.
There we go.
Just about.
I'll let Si down. Sorry, Josh.
It's all right.
Top five. Question five, rather. Where is the European Open being held this year? That's an easy one for you. Nokia Finland. Bang on. And question five in the James boys. Which country is Evelina Solonen from?
Finland.
You don't want to change to Estonia now?
Nope.
You'd be right with Finland.
Okay.
Oh,
they're all the same anyway.
So did you say Sarah Hocum was in the top?
No, I
think we said she was out.
Yeah, I thought that's
what
Bowen
said. She was out, and I said, "Fine, we'll go with that."
Well, it's a coin flip, isn't it? It's not a very good question.
You threw Josh under the bus on the FPO World Championship question. Him to not throw you under the bus when you get it wrong.
It's not even a very good question.
He didn't even mention Elaine King's name once.
That quiz is shit.
Yeah.
I liked it. That was really good.
It was quite fitting then to replace it with the Bowen's fake news section.
It's a good job that the two kings of dog shit won the dog shit quiz, isn't it?
There you go. No sour grapes there. I did have it. So it was Amside 3, Interchange 1 for the
for the scores. No, we got more than one.
You didn't.
No, you didn't.
You didn't get Lone Star. You didn't get all the free FPO World Champion.
Because you shafted us.
You didn't get the state in which Leadstone was in. You didn't get the Sarah Hogan. The only one you got was Evelina Solomon.
Josh,
so you got one point.
Josh, I figured this out. Number one, baby. I figured this out, Josh. He realises we can do the show without him now, so he's feeling threatened. So he was looking to screw us over.
You think he talked to the M side first and said, look, take set one?
Yes.
When I asked.
Ben, seeing as we're the guests on your show, we'll give you an extra point.
No, I'm not having no sympathy vote.
Well, come on, mate. Does it matter?
As you well know, we're all about the conspiracy theories here, and you can hear them playing out as we
unfortunately,
speak.
Unfortunately, we decided whoever won the quiz, the other podcast had to quit, so.
Yeah, exactly.
This is me signing out. I love you all.
although we don't need it, I did have a tiebreaker question.
Let's hear it.
So we got
this is for a million points.
This is a real quiz.
Prison rules, isn't it?
I tell you what, without cheating, if you get it bang on, you're happy to say it's a draw. You've got to get it bang on though.
How many PGA numbers were there? The guys in the winning seat
have to decide that one.
Yeah, it's all fun and games.
Okay, it's going to be impossible. If you get it bang on, you'll call it a draw.
The fact so said that it's impossible.
In what year was the first ever disc golf tournament played?
Disc golf tournament. So not PDGA or any of that, just disc golf tournament.
Can we have a pick each here?
Is it?
Let's all go around
PDGA
in a circle.
You need to tie the quiz, you need to have a combined answer.
I think I've got it.
I'm having a shot in the
dark.
I don't think
I've got it as in the answer, but I think I've got my answer.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I've got my answer as well. Have you got yours, Josh?
Yeah.
Me and you, what are you saying, Josh? I think 71.
I was going to go somewhere near there, like 71, 73.
I was going 73.
Yeah, I was going 74.
Whoa, okay. What do you think, Bowen? 71 or 73?
She's split in the middle.
72?
Or do you think it's an odd number?
No idea.
Should we split
You're
in the
odd
middle?
Number.
That's the best way to do it, Josh.
Okay, fine. 72.
Wrong.
Okay,
1969.
The summer of love?
You weren't too far away, but not quite close enough. So we'll keep the quiz winnings with
Ben,
the outside, guys.
I'm really excited it was created, the first tournament was in the summer of love. That just...
There you go.
That's why disc golf is so good. It's got the
Josh
spirit,
was
you know.
3 years old then.
That's why I put this on my arm, because I was 3 years old when the first disc golf tournament happened.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okie doke. So that was a bit of fun. So let's go over and talk with the AmSide guys about their upcoming tournament, the Essex Open. So I played in it last year. Josh played in it last year. Did you?
Nope.
Oh, I thought you did.
I played Essex one time with Silky Simon.
I thought you was there last year. I played in last year. I was beaten by somebody who I don't necessarily think is a better player than me, but he had a good day. you beat me last year, didn't you, Rob? I was quite a way back, and I come back, and I almost got back to you, and then faded out dramatically on the last couple of finals holes.
Like a
nuke OS. I know. Safari was hard for me. Good for Duffy for the first few holes. I think I had a little bit of a lead, and then I'd say through the first four on the final nine, we almost got it to back to evens. And then the sort of one hole you sort of took it just out of your grasp, didn't it, really?
Yeah. It was a bit disappointing, but that's still my best finish in a big tournament. I still look back on that quite fondly, but was that your first win as well, Rob?
Yes, that was my first win.
I thought it was.
And then that was the sort of I won that, played champs, then moved up because it wouldn't be a bagger like some of the In the Chains team, Matt Lee.
we call baggers out on this show very regularly. We're just trying to keep it fair for everyone.
Matt's not a bagger. He moved up pretty much.
And he's like top of that division as well. He's like you know how they say when you put a goldfish in a tank, it grows to the size of the tank. Matt Lee, no matter what division you put him in, you'll grow to the size of a bagger in that division.
The goldfish of UK disc golf, Matt Lee.
Yeah. Not 08 rated as of today.
Wow. I dropped under 900 again.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, Zachy's higher rated than you now, Rob.
Did you check out my book yet, Rob?
Not yet. It's on my it's on my Audible list of books to
is
buy.
Is it Philosopher's Stone?
Yeah.
It's 50 Shades of Grey. It's a great read.
Oh, nice.
No, I would say I posted on my Instagram, so I think at the last three tournaments I've been playing fairly. Well, so this show is less family friendly on the outside. I've been playing pretty shit disc golf the last three tournaments. So feeling a little bit of that sort of maybe Macbeth slump feeling. So Josh is very kind enough to send across a book on the mental game within golf as translates disc golf. So give me a listen and see if that brings things back.
Just a quick question on what we're talking about that. I've got a message from Dennis. He was asking if he could borrow it afterwards.
Yeah. They actually bring him up as an example of what not to do mentally. I don't know how they know him, but
well, no, so I'm not as a shameless plug, but I've recently been joined the member of Team Elevation, you know, the guys who make the floppy disks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the perfect brand for Dennis, because when you get pissed off and you try and snap a disc in half, it's just that thing lasts forever. There's no way.
We were gonna have his nickname be Taco Jones, but I don't think it ever stuck.
But that's because of the botched sex operation, right? That was the botched sex.
Jesus.
God. Duffy, I've got a question for you about the Essex Open. So obviously last year it was run by a different TD, and this year obviously we're TDing. Yeah. I was always interested in what you enjoyed last year, but what you would have changed, and to see if we've made any of those changes without knowing.
Okay. I liked the course itself. I really liked the course itself. I thought it was a nice course. It had some pretty funky holes, especially like the one that goes round over the road, for instance, and the next one, which goes round the building, and you have sort of long wall rides and all that sort of stuff. Pretty cool, because you don't normally get to throw that close to buildings or anything, so it's quite unusual.
No. I didn't massively hate the safari holes. I just felt like there was a couple in there that was a bit silly. On the whole, they weren't massively bad, I didn't think. What I didn't like was, and this was the same at Dinton a few weeks ago, and a lot of times it is out of people's hands, how long the grass is. I feel that if you throw a shot and it lands on the fairway, there should be no chance whatsoever of you losing your disc.
Losing it.
Where last year at Essex, because if I could be wrong, but I think it's like a conservation area, that top bit, which is why they have to leave the grass.
It's a nature park,
That's what I thought. There's a lot of times where you threw a disc and it went like directly into the middle of the fairway, and you're still having to scout around. You could literally be on top of it and not see it still. And I found like that annoys me a little bit. At the end of the day, you've got a disc golf tournament on a course, a nice course that you wouldn't have if it meant that you wanted cut grass. So it's kind of like swings and roundabouts. But to combat that, what I did like is, and I've only ever seen this at the Essex tournament, is that, you know, like the little flags?
Tiny
little flags like on a piece of wire, like firm wire, and you just stick it into the ground once you find a disc or a spot of sticks in the ground.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, they were a good idea. I thought they were really good, especially on some of the holes where, like I say, where there's long grass or like brambles or whatever. It was good. It's good to have those just to give people a bit of an insight on where their disc was. I thought it had a bit of everything. The course I liked it. It had some bomber holes. It had some more technical holes. It had the water carry hole.
Here's a question for you. So Bubba, one of the guys that runs Ace, he is anti final nine. He thinks there should be three rounds or as many rounds of the tournament, and then if you've won, you've won. I understand the point, because if you've gone out and you've absolutely smashed it and you've made that course your bitch, you know, you've scored better than the rest of your the rest of the sort of the division on the day or on the weekend. Do you think it should come down to a final nine? What does that final nine add? Because the Pro Tour doesn't have final nine.
No.
It's a BDJ ask. You have to do it.
This is a kind of like the question of in football when you have the playoffs. If there's a team, say there's a team in third spot who are like 15 points ahead of fourth spot, they go into the playoffs because they just miss out on automatic promotion, and then they end up losing in the playoffs and don't go up to a team that like finished miles behind them in points. It's the same sort of question, and I think there should be finals unless the person is so many shots ahead. And I think this with football as well. If say somebody's, I don't know, 10 shots ahead, or say 10 shots, for instance. Then I should say, well, we're not going to do finals because he's more than 10 shots ahead. But if it's closer than that, and I feel like there's still a chance that somebody could play better to catch them up or whatever, then I feel like it should go ahead because it makes it a bit more climactic.
But what you're saying there is, so you're not far enough ahead, you haven't won enough, so we're going to give people the chance to beat you there.
You have to either decide to do it before the tournament. Yeah. But I think I like it in the UK because it gives other people a chance to watch, that are at the tournament and kind of grow the sport kind of mentality. The reason I don't like it is because the people, say you're winning and you enter the final nine, the guy behind you, there's no ratings on this, so he can just go nuts and like not play his normal game, and it just changes things a lot. And I prefer just three rounds or whatever it is for the tournament and no finals, but I get why they're doing it.
A lot of BDJ say you have to do it as part of the tour, as part of the thing you have to have.
I wasn't aware of that, but that's interesting.
If you're travelling from far away for a two-day event, a lot of people will just want to play their three rounds and go home as soon as possible because they've probably got work the next day. Are you prolonging?
It's the saving grace playing crap the last 3 months or the last three tournaments that haven't made the finals because these tournaments have been miles away, so I may have to get off early.
Rob, because you do travel, because I don't travel that much for tournaments, would you rather just go home, straight home after a third round? Or if you're in the finals, are you happy enough to be in the finals and you get home a bit later?
It comes down to what Duffy was saying, though. So, for example, Croydon. I mean, I had no chance of making the finals with Croydon. But fellow Leeds guy, Andy Upmalis, he made the finals and we were driving together. But he was fifth in the finals and Adam Keane was in the finals. We all knew that what was going to happen. He was already, 15 strokes ahead. So actually, it's a case of what is the point in this? Again, you can't just pick and mix when you have finals. If I had a long drive back and I was 10 strokes back, but I had to stick around for a finals, that'd probably be a bit frustrating. If I was in the mix, of course, I want to play in the finals and see if I can make something happen. But that's why it's an interesting topic, because you can't just pick and mix, right? Yeah. You need to either have a finals or you don't.
No, definitely.
So what have we got to expect then?
So we've got a few changes this year.
Yeah,
We've got a few videos coming out on our Instagrams to show you in a bit more detail. But can you remember hole 10?
It's not stupid videos of Rob prattin' around, is it?
Or you, in his garage.
It is always. Or you putting around the world from the top of the pyramid or something.
Well, you're just jealous, I'm a jet setter. Can you remember hole 10? It goes down a hill. After the stretch of par 4, you've got hole 10, goes down a hill.
Yeah, like in a little bit of woods.
In the woods, yeah?
Yeah.
So this year, that's going to be an island. So we've created an island.
Okay.
Oh, you're messing around and making stuff up, Dave.
That's going to be quite tricky.
So it's hard to explain if that's it. There's three trees. You've got one, two, and three either side, and it's the middle tree. If you don't make the island, you just go to a drop zone. It's quite an easy drop zone. You're not going to lose a disc or anything like that. But it's quite a fun hole.
Yeah.
You're just looking for excuses to add extra shots to my score, aren't you, Dale? That's all you planned this tournament for.
Yeah. Do you know what? Yes, Sam. So there was a massive backup last year, wasn't there? Around 14 and 15.
Yeah.
You go over the roads, then through the tee.
Yeah.
So we've made a really. I wouldn't say it's very long. We bushtooled it, didn't we, Rob? It wasn't massive.
Still talking about disc golf.
Yes. where the path is to go back towards the uni, you're going basically towards 14's basket from up there. You've got really mature trees either side. You're either going to do... You've basically just got a straight shot. But there's OB 15 foot past the basket. So if you go too far, you're OB.
Right.
So although it's a short hole, it's really technical. You've got to get the perfect shot or lay up.
Yeah.
It's an ace run on a death putt, basically. So it's going to be interesting how people play it. I think a lot of people are going to play it for... Well, the birdie's 100% in play. But if you do just miss that line or you put a bit too much sort of juice on it, then you're going to find OB pretty quick. So it's a sort of a... That's going to reward a very sensible player.
If you're talking aggressive putting, that won't be me.
what are you using, Duffy?
It all depends on the day. Although, tell a lie, I did go out and play Shrewsbury again the other day with Kay. And I said to Kay, I said, before I go to the Essex tournament, because it happened the last two tournaments I've played, I've got to the tournament, I've got to literally the first green, and I've gone, nah, I don't feel confident. I'm going to put with the berg so it doesn't roll away. And like, I said to Kay, I said, make sure when we go to Essex, just say to me, make sure you put with the Envy. Because I put much better with it, and I don't know why I keep referring back to the berg for tournaments.
It's so dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop listing putters that aren't putting putters. The Envy's not
exactly.
A putting putter either.
Oh, no. at least it doesn't have a thumb track. Jesus.
They're the biggest changes, and obviously there's a lot of controversy around. You know, we've got female pro players, we've also got female amateurs, and we've created on some holes FATs. So things are going to change for the female amateurs, because I think that's what we saw, is people didn't want to. I think some of the holes are really, really difficult, and you're gonna have, like, for example, the road hole. We've put the female amateur tee on the next bit down, but then made it a par five, so we've made it shorter, but also made the hole a par five, because you are literally thrown over the road and then going directly up, yeah. up, and up.
Yeah, and they want the elevation to help them to get that distance as well, so that makes sense.
Why I'm a not very good player, why aren't you making that a tee for the amateur men as well?
I think to answer that, I think MA3 is such a large skill division. So we've seen tournaments this year where there's MA4, which we don't have, which have played MA4 off shorter tees, because a lot of the time MA4 introductory skill level. So you can't assume they've got 100-meter backhand. MA3. Well, we've seen it, right? Not to take the piss out of Matt too much, but Matt Lee's only just come out of MA3. But he, obviously, his skill level compared to, again, yours,
mine.
Baron, not taking the
it's
piss,
fine.
But
it's fine.
I think it's, if you, where do you draw the line? Because MA3, probably 70% of the field in MA3 that are more incapable than reaching that distance every single time. So it's just a case of, there's the safe play. It's not a... Island, it's not an OB if you don't reach the road, so it's a safe play. So there is the way to play it safe. Simple as that, really.
Yeah, I think that hits the nail on the head.
I think it's also important to say that we sort of, this decision was made for a lot of sort of Facebook posts and polls about what people would want, either shorter tees or changing pars, because also what we don't want to say is, okay, females can't throw as far, because I think we can all agree Rachel Turton can outdrive all of us. Probably combined, and so can so many of the women playing in the UK. So again, that's just because it's a smaller field of women. Yeah. We're just trying to even that field out a little bit.
And you did the right way by asking people. People can't judge you now, because you said, right, tell us what you want.
Yeah.
So
that thread gap,
the opportunity
really
to come
interesting
down and do it with us.
What were you going to say, Josh?
No, I just said that Facebook thread got a little interesting.
It got really interesting. Yeah, really, really interesting.
I was like,
really quickly.
Oh, no. But no, it was the right thing.
Pandora's box has been opened.
Yeah.
It was literally that. And I asked one simple question and it's exploded. Everyone had an opinion and everyone was just like giving their point. And we had to piece together that post. We had to see what the consensus was and stuff like that. Because last year's Essex Open was so good, and you know, all we wanted to do is make it better. in our heads, when we first were going to create the Essex Open, we wanted to almost be like a Ledgestone type thing. You know, everyone gets a really nice players pack and stuff like that. But we saw it this year that, and I've spoken to Duffy and Byrne about this separately, and how our tournament is full, and we extended it in the end, but it took a long time to fill. Whereas last year it was filled like that. And I think if it filled quickly, we'd have been able to get what we wanted. But we took the decision, was always going to take the hit on getting Discraft discs, you know, because that's such a big part of the Essex Open heritage.
By not because you love them as well.
No, not at all. I mean, I do obviously love Discraft discs, but as part of the Essex Open in years gone by, they've always had a Discraft disc with that sort of stamp we've got. But we then took the decision to pay out really nice. So the payouts this year, I think, are probably one of the best I've seen for the amateur tournaments.
Nice.
Could I get a payout in last place?
No.
I'll get you a wooden spoon from Wilco. I think it's important to say it as well. One thing is one of the emphasis, one of the big reasons for having emphasis around trying to get do the right thing around women's tees is it is also part of the women's global event as well. Yeah, so we worked with sort of the BDGA and how we can incorporate that, and sort of had conversations with the UKW DGA, basically how we can do the best thing for, you know, that event, because we did. Yes, there was clashes, and I'm not going to sort of go into too much, but there's clashes about, you know, essentially double booked. Like the Women's Global event was happening, and so was this Open. So we feel really sort of quite proud about how we've incorporated it, and we think that actually. And Tina Oakley's coming.
What's the chances of having a women's overall winner at the Essex Open?
What, in terms of over MPO?
No, any division
global event.
In the global event, what's the chances of having a British woman winning the global event in their respective division? Because it's a worldwide thing. Everyone competes against everyone, don't they? What are the chances, lads? No, okay.
Well, is it based on rating? Is it based on who does the best rated round?
Yeah.
So, because I guess the sort of the advantage would go to someone playing a course which rates kind of Gillies over near Reading. Apparently, that rates crazy high in tournaments. Although
Reading
for the sort of difficulty. Is it Reading, isn't it?
No, it's Stratford, you wally.
It's near Quarry Park.
Reading.
Oh, that's it. What's the one
in the
other
fairway? You're thinking
I'm thinking of fairways. Gillies near TP.
I guess Gillies has good ratings because there's probably so much separation just due to the amount of trees, and like anyone can hit them. Yeah. So if you play a good round there, that's smashing.
But again, Horsham Hill rates pretty high.
That's why Ollie's over 1,000 rated.
No, wait, what? No, because you have to shoot at least 16 or 17 under. Oh, never mind. This is league, the normal layout, not competition layout. Okay,
not competition layout.
Yeah.
Last year in the global event, I was going to say last year in the global event, we had some women in the UK doing quite well globally.
Yeah.
Like, so hopefully we can hope for something like that at the Essex Open. Yeah. It looked really good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. No, for sure. It'd be really, really good. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that works. But I'm hoping it's going to be a good event. We've got the real backing of the university this year. I've done a lot of work with Simon and the uni to try and do what we can. Duff, what you were saying about grass and stuff like that, I've got a meeting prior to the Essex Open about how I want the fairways cut and how I want the course to look, because you're right, you don't want to be going onto the fairway and thinking, I can't find my disc here. Like hole six, for example, around that massive tree.
Has anyone really found my FD on six yet?
Oh, I did, yeah. I threw it in the water.
Oh my god, I missed that disc.
That's
so
not
much
true. You wouldn't pick up a Discmania disc, would you?
No,
Dale?
I wouldn't.
You
would spit in it.
Oh mate, if you do that thing, it's magic. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, I used to have an FD. So I'm sure it'll be found. This comeback.
What's the sort? Is your sort of key thing you want it to be, like, without blowing your own trumpet, the best amateur event of the season. Is that what you're hoping for?
Yeah, I suppose it is, really. I mean, it's one of those... We've taken a lot of time. We've done a lot of Zoom calls. I think me and you, Rob, had quite a similar vision of how we wanted to look. We wanted it to feel like a tour event. We wanted it to feel like when the amateurs come, because usually you go to, like last year, you go to the event, the MPO were like the champions and they were looked after as best as possible. Whereas I want people to come to this event as amateurs and feel like that.
Well, we're the most important people. We make up the widest amount in the UK. So,
Dale,
Josh. Yeah.
Dale, stop there, mate.
I'm going to be the leveler and say, though, this is the first event that myself and Dale are TD'd in. So I think there's going to be mistakes. So we're quite excited. This is something we want to do yearly. If we're allowed to be the guys that run the Essex Open sort of year on year. So
who decides, Rob? Who decides?
It's kind of, well, I
think if we run a good event, and as you said, Rob's completely right, it's the first event we've ever run. We live in opposite ends of the country. You know, we've had to make decisions about courses and stuff on time that Rob can come down and stuff. You know, but we're going to make mistakes. One thing I would say is that we've got bloody awesome trophies. That is for sure.
They look cool. Yes. They do look cool.
Yeah.
One question that not just myself, but loads of people are asking all over the place is, what's the food options? is there any food options? Pat lunch?
No. So I think, because obviously last year, I think they were having a graduation or something.
No, it was freshers or open day or something.
That was it. So they've obviously, because we've worked with the university, we've made sure that there's going to be food options at the uni.
Nice.
So in that square where you walk through, and there's food places, you're going to be able to get food there. We're going to make sure the toilets are open. You know, the university are coming on the Saturday to help run it. So they're really taking a lot of pride in this event. They want it to work. So I'm confident that, you know, like last year about people getting where to stay. You know, they really have opened up their halls so people can book to stay over the weekend, including breakfast. So they are doing a lot of things to try and get
from my point of view, you seem like you've thought of pretty much everything. You're two likeable lads. Yeah, we all make mistakes. Something's going to get forgotten here, something there. It doesn't matter. It sounds like it's going to be awesome, to be honest.
I hope so.
Fingers crossed.
Get too stressed out. That's all I say. Don't get
too
stressed out.
Are you guys playing?
Yeah.
Okay.
We are. We're gonna bookend the cards, or like where we are in terms of the course. So one of us, we're basically going to be nine holes from each other at times.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to try and work around that. I'm sure there's going to be some issue on that, but...
That's all right. It's doable. It's doable.
I think Rob basically said, if you hang around with shit, you turn into shit. So if I put myself halfway around the course, then...
As far away as possible.
I listened to that that episode. I did a bit of research. I think it was Napoleon that said that.
Yes, it was.
You know, so
I looked at it.
Take the piss. You all knew what I meant. You all knew what I was getting.
I think it was Napoleon Dynamite.
It was Napoleon. So it's French. It was if you hang around with Le Merde, you turn all into Le Merde.
Le Merde.
Le Merde.
So you're saying the shit. Is that what you're saying? Because that's how you... If we're going to go to your translations, you said, if you're hanging around with the shit, you turn into the
Which
shit.
Which is a really good thing.
Well, I am the shit, to be fair. So that's
yeah. It's like bollocks and dog's bollocks. Like, one is bad, one is good, right? I'm asking.
Oh, God. And on that note.
Yeah.
On that note, One thing.
Shall we finish things off and talk about solar?
Yes. Well, before we do that, though, I just want to have a quick word from our sponsor, Upper Park.
Since 2011, Upper Park Disc Golf has focused on disc golf bags and accessories with unique styles, innovative designs, and unmatched comfort. They use cutting-edge design techniques and durable outdoor materials with a lifetime guarantee, so you can focus on what really matters, keeping it in the chains. Whether you're a Bowen or a seasoned pro, Upper Park has the bag to fit your needs. Go to upperparkdiscgolf.com today and save 10% with our code INTHECHAINS10. Now back to the show.
Okie doke. So, yeah, so should we talk about Sulu, as Bowen called it earlier?
Sulu.
Riding Sulu.
Right, who's going to talk about it?
I think we can.
Let's just say that we've spoken about Rachel Turton being there, so I think normally on the AMP side we say who our picks are. I think we all need to be patriotic and just pick Rachel to take the win on FPO. Yeah. I think we can we all universally agree on that?
Yeah. I'm happy to agree with that.
Yeah, sorry. Bowen shaking his head, the treacherous
No, swine. What? That's my switch, sorry.
But the MPO does look a lot more interesting.
Noah Smith's
son. I have a lot of love for a lot of the British guys over there. Jamie's one of my boys, but my other boy, Calvin Heinberg, for me, I think I've got to stick to my guns. Calvin Heinberg, I think
that's where I'd be as well.
Yeah.
All right, for the sake of not picking Calvin Heinberg, I'm going to go
not picking Calvin.
I'm going to go Tuomas Haitainen. That guy.
Sorry, Bowen, is that right?
Is it Tuomas or something?
Tuomas
Haitainen.
Haitainen, yes.
Thank you for clarifying that, Bowen.
Haitainen.
Well, I'm going KJ USA.
KJ nice. Is the other one that it's going to be one of them two you seem to you'd think, wouldn't you?
We'll just say, we talked about Joe Bryan earlier on. He is actually higher rated than Nate Perkins as we speak. He's only four back from Eric Oakley and only a few back from Luke Humphreys as well. So actually, in terms of ratings, he's up there in the top 20 what is a pretty big field. So he doesn't look fish out of water based on ratings whatsoever.
Rob.
So you know what the guy...
There's my issue. I think that we overinflate our ratings a little bit.
I don't think so.
You're 9.85 the highest you've ever been.
But I'm saying, like, it's just not true. It's all relative.
Oh. I think it's important to say there, I will let Dale take his pick, but I did want to say you graciously invited us onto this podcast. Now, for a while, it's been about who is the best amateur disc golf podcast in the UK. I think having one third of your commentary team being one of the highest rated players in the UK, I think that strips you from amateur status.
I would agree. I would definitely agree with that.
Are we semi-pro?
You're semi-pro podcast now. Well,
you're the semi-Bowen.
And you're the gentleman sportsman, are you? You two. You're the gentleman amateur.
We are.
We're men of leisure.
Yeah.
Right. Dale's
got to give his pick.
KJ USA.
That's
what I was going to say about Dennis. Dennis sent a picture of playing the Sula course, and it was KJ USA and Luke Humphries playing, and it was like a candid snap. And then he sent a few photos through of who he'd met after, and it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty jealous.
Nice.
Pretty jealous. Awesome.
Yeah, lots of FOMO.
We've got some bits and bobs coming into the shop in the next week or so. I always bang on about it, but the best place to pick up on anything new is in the Chain Shop group on Facebook. You'll catch everything on there. But head over to inthechainshop.com. We've got quite a big selection of discs at the cheapest prices, as always. So head on over there, and that's it for this week. So it's been an interesting one, but I enjoyed it.
It's fun. I enjoyed it.
Are you ready? Are you ready, Dale? You ready,
Rob?
This is the bit. The famous bit.
I've got this.
Remember to keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
KITC. Keep it in the chains.
He got it wrong. It's KITC. Yeah.
KITC. No, right. I just keep it the chains.
Okay.
Dale, did you go?
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
There we go. Have a good one.
Does someone want to say something funny?
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.